What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful Select, here for the Fightful Wrestling Weekly podcast. We got a bunch of exclusive news to go through. We covered the majority of the AEW-WBD thing through a series of podcasts last week. We're going to give you that TLDR on that deal that we are very proud of, all the work that we did along with Andrew Zarian on. Of course, we have news from Bad Blood, all kinds of stuff, but the AEW-WBD deal. Now, I just want to say this. Any story, especially within wrestling media, that does not credit Andrew Zarian is not doing a good enough job at covering this story, because he has been on top of it for a very long time. Both he and I have been working together on this story for quite a while as well. And collectively, on Wednesday morning, we had all the details that were going to emerge from the press release later on. And then shortly after, on the Breaking News podcast, we had the accurate number, which was later echoed by WrestleVotes and then corrected by Variety. But let's go ahead and get into that TLDR, the too long didn't read of this. Dynamite and Collision will air in their normal time slot and days and also be streamed on Max. This was an important factor on both sides and something that Andrew Zarian had pointed out was coming in January. The deal is closer to $185 million annual average. It looks like next year will be $180 million, the year after $185, the year that follows $190. Then there is a fourth year option for WBD that is for significantly more. We don't know that amount as of yet. Both WBD and AEW sources that I spoke with had no knowledge of any equity situation. Some of you say, well, where did that come from? Sports Business Journal reported that WBD retains their equity in AEW. I spoke to reps and spokespeople from both AEW and WBD that said, if that is the case, it was not a part of the deal that they were briefed on. They don't know anybody that provided that information, and that they have never been informed of any equity involved there. Not saying it is or isn't the case, but at least as far as the reps that were involved in this story and it emerging, they never told Sports Business Journal that, and they have never been told that themselves. Kathleen Finch was quoted, and I believe the Sports Business Journal story, saying that the library would be on Max. I asked for some clarity there. I'm told that Dynamite, Collision, and Rampage replays, those libraries of footage will be featured. I wasn't told anything about Dark, about previous pay-per-views or anything like that, but Dynamite, Collision, and Rampage, or at least Rampage up until 2025, because that show is going away. So effectively, AEW got a massive rights increase for 1 hour less of content. Now, just because it's gone from WBD does not mean that it's gone completely, although we have not heard any plans moving forward for it. But WBD and AEW do know that the possibility of it being shopped around was something that was possible. In fact, AEW was discussing that earlier this summer, but that show was one that WBD wanted in 2021, and now considering the deal is mainly for, or it is for, Collision and Dynamite, there wasn't as much of a need for that for either side. ROH and True TV were not mentioned in the press materials. For the time being, ROH will operate the same way they have prior. WBD did have exclusivity over AEW broadcast content on TV. Now they do not. So how this came about was last year when the Collision deal got worked out, WBD was like, well, we want exclusivity on your content. And AEW said, okay, we can do that. And that's why Dark went away. Now, there have been some people in the company who have told me that they wish they still had Dark and et cetera. But now AEW has that ability back, and they have been having conversations with Fox. We've discussed that about the possibility of a show called Shockwave. We'll see how that goes. We don't have anything necessarily firm on the Fox deal moving forward. Pay-per-views. Right now, they are going to be offered in later in 2025 at what they call a discounted rate for Max subscribers. We do not know that rate. We as of right now, we don't have the details on that one. However, when I asked people in AEW about the motivation of keeping it that way, was the potential pay-per-view revenue. I have not been told that that is worked in to that 185 average annual value or not, but they didn't want to cannibalize their pay-per-view audience or pay-per-view business model. This is a thing that you have heard Dana White and the UFC say, that once you do that, you can't go back. And that's specifically pointing at WWE, who moved their pay-per-views off of traditional pay-per-view to the WWE Network. And now that they're white hot, they can't go back to that. Although, and this is just an opinion, you could argue that the ease of access to WWE pay-per-views and PLEs is part of the reason they're so hot right now. So that's a situation where I'm sure they researched an awful lot into and you know, weighed that decision. AEW and WBD always expected to continue working together as well. WBD sources confirmed Andrew Zarian's report from last year that they had approached AEW about the possibilities of integrating Max in 2023 with the pay-per-views. They also noted there was a dialogue regarding the future of AEW and WBD as far back as like a year and a half ago. And some of those mentions and offers had been made. There were people I talked to at WBD that really thought that Tony Khan would take the first offer presented to him, and that didn't happen. There were a lot of people at WBD that I spoke to that gained a lot of respect for him as far as his negotiating skills and the like. That's the long and short of it. I am interested to see what questions you guys have in the Q&A portion about what we can find out about this AEW-WBD deal, but I just think that everybody should be giving Andrew Zarian his flowers, because let me tell you, man, me and him both heard for over a year that whenever this gets broken, it'll be mainstream media. No wrestling media will get it. So I'm very proud of the work that Andrew and I did on this story and how accurate the stuff was, because there were an awful lot of people saying that this was out of our depth and a lot of things like that. And I think we did a very good job in that regard. So shout out to Andrew Zarian. Check him out every Tuesday on Beyond the Bell. Just one of the best guys doing this right now. Let's stick with this and give you some AEW 5th anniversary notes. The final countdown is expected to be used for Danielson again, including on TV some, I'm told. Daniel Garcia was not backstage at the 5th anniversary show and has not been backstage recently. However, I can confirm Abu of WrestlePurists report that there were creative pitches in the event that he does come back. Powerhouse Hobbs continues to travel with AEW ahead of his return to the ring and being cleared. Switchblade Jay White is back, is cleared. They were hoping to have him cleared ahead of All In to be in that casino gauntlet, but unfortunately, they weren't able to. Fightful reported that Katsuke Takeshita was slated for a push, and then like maybe 15 minutes later, he was added to the Will Ospreay Ricochet feud. Very happy about that one as well. I personally think he's winning the international title. Sammy Guevara was knocked out, stretchered out during the ROH tapings. We're told that he was walking around backstage following the injury, which was good news. Kelly Madon was also stretchered out after her ROH match. She was taken to a medical facility next door, and we were told that she was recovering. Did not appear to suffer an injury outside of a possible concussion. Adam Cole was backstage at AEW Dynamite's 5th anniversary, actually hanging out with Britt Baker's family, and that's the extent that I'll share on news regarding those two. But we had reported on Monday that Adam Cole, after being sidelined for over a year, is expected to be back soon. He sustained that ankle injury last September, was forced to undergo two surgeries that heavily derailed AEW creative plans. We'll get more into that as he comes back. But Fightful Select learned that word backstage within AEW is that they're hopeful and even expecting to get Adam Cole back sooner than later, and that wheels have already been put in motion to prepare for that on screen. Adam Cole was backstage at All Out, was backstage at AEW's 5th anniversary. He was walking around without crutches, without a boots, seemed to be in very, very good spirits from all that I heard, which is very good news because he's one of the great guys in wrestling. Another set of names that were at the AEW 5th Dynamite anniversary, MVP and Shelton Benjamin. Now, Fightful confirmed last week that MVP was under a contract. He had been signed for about a week. Shelton Benjamin showed up to a very big pop on Dynamite last week, and we were able to confirm that he is signed as well, but that isn't it. One could surmise that Bobby Lashley is on his way, and one could also surmise that Bobby Lashley is likely signed as well, but we were able to confirm it. We unfortunately can't run stories off of surmising, but He is signed. They have been signed since late September, and there are creative plans in a significant way for all three of them. Now, MVP is expected to primarily serve as a manager, with Shelton Benjamin and Bobby Lashley wrestling. Shelton had been pitched for a variety of things in a couple of spots earlier this year, but they were finally able to get a deal done, and he is All Elite. Heavy on the AEW news last week, Chris Statlander, she is undergoing a change. She appeared on the Collision Rampage tapings and appeared to be in line to face TBS champion Mercedes Moné. Now, Chris Statlander had turned heel earlier this year and had a feud with Willow Nightingale, but this signified a big shift in character as she had been in that heel role and now appears to be going back babyface. When Fightful inquired about the change, we're told that Statlander's alliance with Stokely Hathaway appears to be finished on screen, at least as of this week. Stokely Hathaway was seen watching Private Party's match on AEW Dynamite. I had a lot of people asking why this happened and just saying it didn't make sense. I was just told that it wasn't an option to continue forward with that story. And Statlander hadn't wrestled in about a month since All Out. We were told she had been dealing with a minor injury, but that she's cleared and good to go now. Unfortunately, not so great news about Luchasaurus, a.k.a. Killswitch. Now, just for disclosure, I don't provide this type of story or exclusive unless it's coming direct from the source and from that household. So unfortunately, a couple weeks ago, Luchasaurus was found collapsed by his fiance and was rushed to the hospital, where they found his blood oxygen level below 80% and determined he had pneumonia in both lungs. It was discovered that he was just days away from experiencing personal lung damage, which hopefully they were fortunate to be able to prevent. He's on oxygen. He's back home. He's told to expect a recovery from over a month. His in-ring return remains unclear, although the doctors that he has spoken to at least say that he should be able to return to the ring. But I just want to send my love to Luchasaurus, Killswitch, and hope that he gets better soon. Fightful spoke with Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, for an interview. She opened up about internet criticism, wrestling Mercedes Moné, about dealing with her injuries and TIA, a lot of stuff like that. Just a lot of stuff that we got into there. We also did Shooting Softly. Sometimes she gets a bad rap, so I wanted to get some nice, positive headlines from her. She really put over Sarah Stock, Serena Deeb, Hikaru Shida, Kevin Owens, and the like. But we also talked about her being the first woman in AEW and how that affected her from a perception standpoint, among other things. So a lot that we talked about there, and it was a good chat. I was very happy with it. There were some people that were disappointed I didn't ask about MJF or her personal relationships and stuff, but I was very happy with that interview. TNA, they do their Hall of Fame each year. They took a little break, like I want to say like 5 years ago or something like that, but anytime that a Hall of Fame doesn't announce an inductee or a candidate or somebody like that, like a month or two out, people are like, oh my God, is it going to keep going? But yeah, as of this past week, I'm told that there was a plan to continue the TNA Hall of Fame, and there were a couple of options on the table. I spoke to the Hardy Boys recently, and they noted that they'd both be honored to be inducted, but had not been engaged in conversations regarding it. Jeff Hardy didn't even know that TNA still did a Hall of Fame. But like, that's not like him thumbing his nose at TNA. I was at a convention that was all non-WWE people, and I watched him ask Elijah if he was still in WWE. So not necessarily plugged into that, but we have heard that maybe AJ Styles is a target. We'll see. Don't know if that one can happen. A vignette aired on SmackDown, and it is for who you think it is. Chris Sabin, Alex Shelley are headed to WWE SmackDown at long last. Finally happening. I mean, these guys had still been doing seminars and things like that on the indies, but it got to a point to where plenty of people that we talked to just didn't think that they were going anywhere, but just kind of ribbing about it. But they wrestled up until mid-August. They are headed to SmackDown. Now, a source in the know reached out to me and said, contrary to rumors, they were not discussed for NXT. They were planned to come to SmackDown, and they put an awful lot of stuff on hold in order to make this happen and to make this move. And it's finally happening. Motor City Machine Guns to WWE. What a great addition to that tag team division. News from WWE SmackDown. The AJ Styles injury angle was planned. He's fine. It's just a part of a story. I mean, you know, you could have him come back and then him immediately win, or you could have him come back towards the end of his deal in the twilight of his career and make an interesting story about it. And that's what I think that they're doing here. I saw people saying like, oh, how would that make any sense? How would that go? I mean, to me, it makes all the sense. You want something compelling. You want people to wonder, oh my God, is he washed? Can he still go? But I can tell you, this was in the script. It was planned. They kept the camera on him the whole time. Otherwise, they would not do that. Usually, they would just take that camera off of him. They definitely wouldn't follow him back. They certainly wouldn't have LA Knight prepared to step in there. And then they wouldn't go back and then do a trainer's room segment with him as well. So AJ Styles is fine, just a part of a storyline that they're going through, and one I'm interested in. An updated WWE Raw logo is expected for Netflix's debut. As one would expect, Chelsea Green got high praise for her dumpster match reaction. We're told WWE took photos, digital skits, did a lot of different stuff to maximize that. Chelsea Green has been game for everything and has delivered throughout this. And I heard they were very happy with her and Meechan and the reception they got, the reaction they got. Lots of cool stuff there. There was more wrestling on this show than a lot of SmackDowns. And I'm told that ahead of PLEs, it's going to be kind of common to see that. The internal name for the show was Trashville. It was hashtag Trashville. All early indications were the talent from the ladder match emerged okay. Company seemed pleased with the match. Nick Aldis produced like five speed and dark matches, which I'm told aren't too intensive or anything like that, but he actually lives in the area, so it makes a lot of sense for him to do that. Chad Barbosh listed as the writer for the AJ Styles promo. Sandra Lacey listed as the writer for the opening of SmackDown. I've been getting a look at some of the writers lately and who is writing what. That's always an interesting look to see, because it's not always that we get that information, and sometimes you can kind of see who has whose voice, so to speak, because they do still script these, although it's a lot more loose than it used to be. SmackDown on CW debut. Corey Brennan did a great job reporting a lot of the NXT stuff, including that the Performance Center was being remodeled. Booker T ended up confirming that. He also reported that we were headed to the silver and black era of NXT, which I think is cool. I think it's a natural adjustment. We went from the reality show to the black and gold era to 2.0 to whatever you would call the most recent era, and now into the silver and black era. It's kind of cool. But the day of the NXT on CW debut, Corey shot down a lot of the TV-14 stuff. Like, nobody there had heard of that. And I just want to make this clear again. The TV-14, TVPG thing is a sponsorship deal. That's ultimately who you're appealing to. Even if you do TVPG, you can put the same stuff on there as TV-14. It's just the sponsors that you have sold a TVPG show will have issues with it. It's not like ESRB for video games, where an oversight committee will rate you an M, or the MPAA that will rate your movie an R, or anything like that. You can put whatever you want on these. Now, that comes with an asterisk now that you're on CW, because CW is a terrestrial state. Like, it's regulated by the FCC. So it's like NBC, ABC, Fox, etc. Which does beg the question, why on earth do they censor so much on USA Network still? But that's also an appeasing the sponsors type of thing. But Corey had talked to people there. They hadn't heard anything about TV-14 and ended up being right on the money there. WWE Bad Blood took place on Saturday. The Rock returned as FightfulSelect.com reported. He showed up just in plain sight earlier in the evening in his big black truck. He was there for like the whole show, I'm told. But still, there wasn't a lot of heads up given to the creative. A lot of people asking what his hand gestures mean. I think it means 1, 2, 3, 41. That's what I think. That's a hunch. But obviously, he is planned for WrestleMania. Things are just more interesting when The Rock is around. But how about that CM Punk Drew McIntyre match? I did the full interview or the full review with Mini Portable, but Drew McIntyre ended up with, I think, 16 staples. CM Punk was fine. The collapsing at the end was a work. We can surmise, and I am not reporting, that maybe this is the take him off TV through the Saudi show. We'll see how that unfolds. But the former Abyss produced that match, and what a great job all of those guys did. The Liv Morgan, Rhea Ripley, Raquel Rodriguez situation, it was not supposed to go like that. So the Bet Online AG odds ended up, well, you would have made some money if you bet on Rhea Ripley. She was favored to lose. Liv Morgan was favored to win. But the referee had to call the DQ because the attack was right in his view. So technically, Rhea Ripley wins. Also, some discussion about how the main event was decided and all that. It was decided because The Rock was involved with that main event. They weren't going to have that go on anywhere else on the show. About a month ago, they had discussed and possibly even planned for Drew McIntyre, CM Punk to headline the show, to close the show. And by the time the vignette was filmed with Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns, they had decided that that was going to main event the show, and for obvious reasons. But listen, part of me wonders, did that motivate CM Punk and Drew McIntyre to have the type of match that they had? I mean, I'm sure they already would have, but man. In addition to what we've mentioned, we had a bunch of news for SmackDown. We had a bunch of UK scene news, all that good stuff. Hope you guys enjoyed our Scoops thread on Bad Blood. We were able to get some pretty cool stuff there. I feel like it's like the fourth Rock return that we've announced. It's like the Goldberg thing. That Goldberg probably is in the lead with the number of times we've reported somebody's return, so to speak. The Rock is a different one because it's one of those things where I say that, you know, we can't report based on vibes and assumptions and all that stuff. But I also understand why WWE does what they do. They don't really hide it that much that The Rock is going to show up a lot of times. Like, you know, he's going to that high school outside of Atlanta, which was, you know, wonderful of them to do, considering that there was a school shooting there last month. Wonderful of him to do. But then you got Cody mentioning it to McAfee and then stuff like that. And people won't deny it when I bring it up. So that usually means, at least to me, like they kind of want some people to know, or at least you to go, oh, well, he's probably showing up, because they want you to tune in and watch, obviously. Some not so fortunate news that we reported ahead of this show. Keith Lee. A lot of people have been asking for a status update on him. You know, with stuff like this, I always like to wait and get sort of like an approval in that situation. But he's been sidelined for 9 full months, and I was asked that, or I asked rather, about his status, and I was simply told that he was still not medically cleared. Now, he has had obviously some trouble staying healthy, or staying cleared, I should say. I don't know about healthy. I mean, he could be, I don't know his health status, to be quite frank. I saw him at Wale Mania earlier this year, but man, wish the big fella was back in there. It's a bummer to not have him, especially because for a couple years it looked all right, and he obviously had to miss a period of time between getting released and starting with AEW, and then he missed a pretty substantial amount of time as well before that. But not cleared, hoping that we see the fella back in AEW. Let's get to the Q&A portion of this. I want to say thank you to you all receiving the Select Answers stuff so well. Right out of the gate, somebody says, was the Liv Rhea finish a botch? Yes, it was. It was not supposed to happen that way, but the ref didn't really have much of a decision because he saw it. Like, you can't insult your audience's intelligence that much. And listen, we got to suspend our disbelief quite a bit, but yeah, that was one. Is Rock going to be around from now until WrestleMania? No, not that I've heard of. Sean, when do you expect Bobby to appear on screen? Probably by WrestleDream. I would be surprised if not WrestleDream. I know that Swerve was always scheduled to appear on WrestleDream. I don't know if he's wrestling, but obviously they want him there in some capacity. Do you think the gimmicked barricade spot is being overdone? It used to be cool, like an OMG moment, but now it's literally once a show. Yeah, I do. And it's become the steel chair of WWE, especially. Like, they love to do that spot. And I'll say this, it's very low percentage for people getting hurt, so that makes me happy. But yeah, I do think it's actually overdone quite a bit. There's a few things that I think are overdone. For example, like 3 or 4 years ago, I think everybody was doing a frog splash. You had Kevin Owens, Montez Ford, Dominic Mysterio, Sasha Banks. Gosh, I can't remember who else. Rey Mysterio. To me, like, I understand why several of those people do it, but when you see Montez doing it, I'd be like, well, why would anybody else? There was also three people doing the run around the ring and do a big move spot. There was Ludwig Kaiser, there was Braun Breaker, and there was Braun Strowman. Now, with Braun Strowman, his moveset is significantly more limited. But also, Braun Breaker, like, he made that a thing where people were like, oh, he's getting mowed down. So I do think that some of these things, like, need to be scaled back. I thought the same with suicide dives in AEW a few years ago. I know a lot of people are like, well, super kicks, that's just a move at this point. But suicide dives specifically, because that's more of a high spot, like, when you would see Darby Allin do it, and then you'd see other people lean through the ropes and give somebody a nudge or a push, I'm like, what's the point, man? Like, just let Darby have it. Do you think Triple H will ever budge on the 5-match card? Yeah, I do. Listen, we had reported last month, I believe, on our Scoops thread that they were very happy with that. And I know that other people reported, oh, well, no, they're going to expand that show and all that. They're very comfortable with that match card, giving certain matches more time, then doing some more segments in between. Listen, they could do a... Sorry, I keep saying listen, by the way. That's very rude of me. Their format is they like to make this like a bit of an event and a hangout type of thing. I fully believe that Gunther and Sammy should have been on this show over Finn and Damian, to be honest with you. But I think they're happy with the 5-match card. I understand why they're doing it. I actually prefer the 5-match card. I just wish there was less time wasting in between those matches. But, like, the fact that we get stuff like Braun Breaker versus Jey Uso on Raw and Gunther versus Sammy on Raw, even though I think that should be switched around, the ladder match, the dumpster match on SmackDown, like, I'm quite favorable of those things. And I've said this time and time again. If I were AEW, especially now with the new TV deal, I look right now, they had a 12-match show on All Out. They did not need the Acclaimed and the Iron Savages on that show. You did not need the Bang Bang Gang versus the Dark Order. You did not need the Undisputed Kingdom, Beast Mortos, Top Flight. Like, those are matches that if you even put them on Rampage, you'd be like, well, okay, not much to these. I would have kept that to about 8 and spread those others out across Collision and stuff like that, because many of them aren't built with anything anyway. I like the shorter match number card, whatever the hell you want to call it. But maybe I would go up to like 6 or 7. Where does Bayley go now that the program is over and no non-title storylines besides Chelsea? I would move Meechan back into, I'd keep her winning. Keep Meechan winning. But I would go into the Bayley Naomi stuff. When the Peacock deal expires and the archived content is moved off the app, could the archived content move to WWE Vault? I don't know about that. I don't think it's easily sortable enough for that. Maybe if they worked with YouTube to have some sort of special interface and subscription method, it could, but I don't think right now. Any backstage reaction to Triple H's I Don't See Color line, assuming some of the black wrestlers aren't too happy with not being seen. I've never had a WWE talent tell me that they believe Triple H is racist or anything like that. There have certainly been some that brought up some of the things that he performed in years past. I didn't get any type of expanded reaction outside of, I wouldn't have said that. And then one person indicated, or they sent me the Cody thing that he said at the AEW presser years ago. I believe Andreas Hale asked him, or maybe Andreas Hale posted the clip, but it was Cody saying, Brandy told him once, well, if you don't see color, you don't see my experience. And they said, your top talent has answered this question perfectly. I'm going to keep asking about it, but as of today, I didn't hear a lot about it. Is Goldberg back now in an official capacity or even a Legends deal? I'm working to find that out. I just didn't want you to think that I ignored this, but I am going to work to find out what's going on with that. How far along are the AEW Fox talks? They have been talking for at least a month. I know this hasn't been said yet. Do you personally think the AEW ROH pay-per-view libraries will be available on Max or just the weekly shows? I think it'll be the weekly shows for now, and then the pay-per-views. Well, I think they'll air at a discounted rate, and then you'll probably be able to buy the back catalog of them at an even lower price than that. David says, it feels like some of the AEW creative has been a bit messy in the week since All Out. Do you think things will get a bit clearer in the patch after Wrestle Dream? I think AEW needs to really, really get better with streamlining their championships and who challenges for those championships and what they did to get those opportunities for the championships. I don't need rankings or anything like that, but like give them a few wins before. Like, okay, I'm glad Britt Baker got her one win, but she lost her way up. She lost a TBS title match, and then there, she's challenging for the title. Or you know what, she's about to beat Willow in a top contendership match. So I guess, you know, I guess there is at least that. Chris Statlander, she beat Willow, she is challenging for the TBS title. That one makes a little bit more sense, but I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, she's turning babyface. There's, you know, enough of a reason for that, but I really wish that they would produce more wins, like, back-to-back before people challenge for titles. Like, I want a few people that have been on consistent pushes to get title shots. Somebody says, on the last Q&A, you mentioned Matt Justice being involved in an exhibition Royal Rumble. What was that? Is it on video? I have no clue what you're talking about. Was I just talking out of my ass? I don't remember saying that. BBQ Dad, if you can send me the timestamp there, maybe I misspoke. Or something like that, because I don't know what you mean. Hey, Sean, any big names from either WWE or AEW going to make a big surprise jump to another company in 2025 that's not expected? Well, Quincy, my friend, if they were unexpected, I don't think I would expect them either. I think that unless they re-sign Kevin Owens ahead of time, I think he's going to get a very, very good offer from AEW. I don't know if he'll make the jump or anything like that, but I think he's going to get a very, very good offer. Chance's Private Party are getting a push and will defeat the Young Bucks for the tag titles. They've sort of been stop and start for a while, but I think they're delivering. This is their opportunity to show that they belong near the top of this division. I don't think they're going to win the tag titles, though. Was the Rock appearance a one-off, or is he planned for more build-up? He's planned for more build-up, but I don't know that he's going to be around necessarily that much. Why didn't they just turn Stokely face along with Stat instead of breaking up the act? Him trying out Heavy Camille would have been fun. Well, if you notice, there wasn't like a lot of interaction between he and Willow once the matches happened. I was just told that partnership was not continuing, and they're just not going to continue to work together in that capacity. Have you heard any further talk about AEW adding a women's tag team title? Outside of it being mentioned, I've not heard of any plans for it, unfortunately. Do you think we could see NXT hold on to all four women, Roxanne, Julia, Delta, and Stephanie, for a while and reform the new Four Horsemen? I think you mean form the new Four Horsemen. But yeah, I mean, I could see that. I mean, Roxanne is, she's ready for the main roster. And a lot of people question that heel turn. And I think it's been very good for her. But, you know, if you wanted four really strong pillars for that television property, I think you're onto something there. I think that'd be an awfully good way to do that. Any update on AJ Styles after SmackDown? Yeah, he's fine. It was just a work. It was all planned. And I saw somebody go, well, why would they do that? Because it's interesting. It's a story. AJ came back, cut this promo. His deal's almost up. He's in the twilight of his career, and something interesting's going on. Is Raw definitely going to be 3 hours on Netflix? Just to make this clear, as far as any run times after the end of the year, I have not been given any solid clarification from WWE. All I can do is tell you what they've told me in an official capacity. And that was that SmackDown is 2 hours and is planned for 2 hours, and that Raw is 2 hours until the end of the year. Which, gosh, I had completely forgotten that tomorrow night, as I film this, the first two-hour Raw in a long time. Y'all excited for that? I'm interested to see what they do. I'm interested to see how they approach this. But when I asked somebody in the know, they said, well, we don't necessarily have anything hard and fast that has to be set there. It wouldn't surprise me to see sometimes Raw being 2.5 hours or 3.5 hours on a Monday. They won't have those hard outs. Is there a New Japan talent you expect to jump to WWE, AEW, TNA in the near future? Yeah, Gabe Kidd. I love his deal. I love the whole thing. If you can't tell, I interview him all the damn time. Every time I get an opportunity to, I interview Gabe Kidd, because I just think that he sells things like a fight. Like, there's not much that I miss about covering MMA. But when you find somebody that really sells something like a fight all the time, you got something. And Gabe Kidd always sells something like a fight. I know a lot of people don't like it. I love it. I really, really enjoy it. He did the ROH on Honor Club thing. He faced Anthony Henry, and he defended the strong openweight title. I love that they have that. I think that ROH should do more of that as well, but Gabe Kidd's the one that I'm looking at there. Is Bobby Lashley versus Swerve expected at Wrestle Dream or Full Gear? I wouldn't doubt that we see like a segment of some sort at Wrestle Dream. I know they want Swerve on the show. Now that we know what the new deal for WBD is with AEW, how much were they getting on the previous deal? Any plans in place for how they will use their new budget? Talent contracts will obviously be increasing. I'm working on finding out how they'll work within or around their budget. The way that I believe that Brandon Thurston had estimated like 70-something million was what their previous deal was. I don't have any solid numbers on that like I did the 185. Any plans to add Scorpio Sky to Hurt Syndicate? No, there have been some names tossed around, but I don't know if anybody's getting added imminently to that. I mean, they had planned to have Scorpio Sky work with Private Party, and it didn't end up happening. Will AEW fans on the West Coast be able to stream Dynamite live on Max? I believe so. That's what was told to me. That was when I asked, that was the indication I was given. Christopher says, Sean, I'm not surprised Vince dropped the ball on Nakamura, because of course he did, but it's disheartening to see Triple H ignoring Nakamura too. Any idea what's going on there? I mean, this is definitely not the Nakamura that we knew in 2015 and 2014. Like, it's a different guy. He's much closer to the end of his career. And it's funny, because back then people were saying, oh, Nakamura won't want to work that schedule. Nakamura isn't going to want to have those types of matches. And he went and did it. But assuming Nakamura comes back, and I don't know if that's a guarantee. I don't know his status. But I would immediately put him in some like very favorable matchups for him. Like some squashes, some stuff where he can really highlight himself and build him as a contender. I think there's something special that you can always have with Nakamura, and they rarely implement that. Odds we see Shane McMahon do something with AEW eventually, I'd say pretty good. Imminently, I don't know about that. He's not planned for the Moxley thing. With WWE starting to do more with the mid-card of its women's division, does it lead to credence about the upcoming women's mid-card championship? Dev, all I have heard is that it has been discussed. I haven't heard if it was planned. Sean, do you know what kept Jimmy Uso away for so long? Yeah, he was sidelined with an injury. Listen, I pulled out the receipts. Again, sorry for saying listen. But I pulled out the receipts the other night because a lot of people were going at me over the Rikishi thing, where Rikishi was like, prayers for Jimmy Uso. And obviously, if it's like a personal thing and I find out about it, I'm not going to report it unless that person gives me the okay, because I think there's plenty of stuff that just isn't any of our business to put out there. But I asked, like, hey, is Jimmy okay? Because it seemed very concerning, and people were like, yeah, he's fine. I just FaceTimed with him. He's good. Or maybe they said call or text. I don't know. But they said he was fine, multiple people. And he had been sidelined with an injury. We had reported on that earlier this year. And fortunately, he's back. Has there been any confirmation on the creative reason for Chris randomly turning face? The decision was made to split Stokely and Chris and send them in way different directions. Any updates on Blair Davenport? I don't understand how most of the NXT call-ups are so mishandled. Last I had heard, Blair Davenport was on the new speed tournament. And other than that, I haven't heard much of her. She hasn't worked any dark matches or anything like that. They have never had any extended plans for her outside of what we've seen her do. And that's pretty frustrating. Like, just leave her in NXT if that's the case. With most PLEs, only having five matches or main roster talents required to be at all PLEs, regardless of if they are booked or not. No, there are plenty that are not brought there or are they're sent home or whatever. Then there are some that are on hand to film stuff or do extra segments. With the new WBD deal, are there any production set-related changes that might occur given the extra revenue? Possibly. I mean, I know that they at least the last couple of months have not been interested in doing the LED boards. They felt like those were safer with the cloth boards and or the cloth barricades and the regular ring apron. But there's always a chance the WBD might say, hey, we kind of want those back. What do you think the main event of Saudi will be? The men's world championship. The Crown Jewel Championship. Sean, I know you're a fan of the old school 4-on-4 or 5-on-5 Survivor Series matches. Would you like to see the return of the 1 year they had all the survivors face each other at the end of the event when it was Hogan and Warrior defeating 40 other guys? Amy, I was a sucker for that. I really was as a kid. But I'll tell you one that I specifically liked. Go back to 1995 Survivor Series. And let me tell you, 1995 WWF in the ring was very, very underrated. First off, that show had Diesel versus Bret Hart, which was a lot of fun. Just a ton of fun. You had Goldust facing Bam Bam Bigelow, a match a lot of people didn't know even happened. But they had like 4-on-4 Survivor Series matches. And they had like a really good women's match. They had one that they called like the Underdogs match. And it was the Body Donnas, and it was Skip, Rad Radford, Tom Pritchard, 1-2-3 Kid, which is funny in retrospect because Tom Pritchard became Skip's twin. But they had a lot of cool stuff like that. Smoking Guns and Public Enemy were a dark match, but the thing that I really liked was that they did what they called the wild card match, and you would have Shawn Michaels and Ahmed Johnson, babyfaces, teaming with British Bulldog and Psycho Sid, heels, taking on heels, Yokozuna, Owen Hart, Dean Douglas, and babyface Razor Ramon. And like at that time, Razor Ramon, Dean Douglas, Shawn Michaels were embroiled in a little bit of a feud. Yokozuna and Owen Hart had been embroiled in a bit of a feud with Shawn Michaels. Like there was a lot of cool stuff there. British Bulldog was involved as well. I loved the wild card match. I would love to see one of those come back. And maybe like the winners get something or the survivors get something. To me, that's so easy to do, so fun, so different to do. When is Sami Zayn's contract up? Did he get an offer to re-sign? I haven't heard about if he's got an offer to re-sign. I can only assume, and this is me assuming, that his deal's probably up around the same time as Kevin Owens. Is Big Ben Bishop, Big Trouble Ben Bishop, going to get signed somewhere due to so over the social media shenanigans? Big Trouble Ben Bishop, as well as guys like Vinny Pacifico and a few others, are very good examples of how to utilize social media. Now, not only do I think that Big Trouble Ben Bishop is going to get signed, if I were him or somebody else, like a rep, I would be trying to get him acting roles because look at this, and I think I've said this before, but like look at Kurgan, look at Nathan Jones. Did anybody ever accuse those guys of being like the best actors or the best performers in the world? I don't think so, but guess what? Nathan Jones is a big, muscular son of a bitch, and he was in Troy. He was in The Condemned, Conan the Barbarian. Gosh, one of the Scorpion Kings that went direct to video, but they had Mortal Kombat, Hobbs and Shaw, Furiosa. I know he was in the recent John Cena movie. Kurgan was in like 300. He was in a very underrated horror movie with Kevin James called Becky that was very good. Deadpool 2, he was in the movie with the Workaholics guys. He was in Hercules. And what else? Sherlock Holmes. A lot of stuff like that. And he did a bunch of TV work. And there's going to be a big void there. Because how many 7-foot tall guys are in wrestling right now? They used to grow on trees, it felt like. Now, not the case. You run into a guy over 6'6 starting in pro wrestling, it's like, well, that's a rarity anymore. So I think Big Trouble Ben Bishop should be aiming for some of these roles because both of those fellas that I mentioned, Kurgan and Nathan Jones, are, I think they're in their mid-50s. I'm telling you, I know that there are a couple of agents and reps that listen to this show. I'd be getting my hands on Big Trouble Ben Bishop if I were them. Do you think WWE will put NXT head-to-head with Dynamite again? No. USA or CW Network does not give a hoot about their silly little wrestling war. They care about getting that viewership. Am I wrong or are KO and McIntyre's heel turns rooted in the same justification? Well, I want to hear how KO justifies it first. I don't know how he's necessarily going to justify it. We just saw all this unfold last night as I filmed this after Bad Blood. What's your percent chance that AJ Styles signs with AEW when his contract is up? I'll say like 20 to 25%. I think that he has been very happy in WWE. And if he does that, it will be just like I kind of want to do it type of thing. Sorry if this has been asked before. Do the Saudis involved with WWE deal have creative input or influence on the PLE cards for the Saudi events? They have some input and suggestions that they make. Sometimes they're pretty stupid. Like one year they wanted Yokozuna. Well, buddy, so do I. I would also like to see Yokozuna wrestling. Unfortunately, the man passed away in the year 2000. Like there are some things you can tell that WWE have done to like appease and make them feel like, oh, you got something cool. The greatest Royal Rumble, which I'm a sucker for Royal Rumbles. There's, you know, the greatest or the world grand champion, the greatest in the world, best in the world, whatever the fuck they called that. I actually kind of dig the current idea because it's something they used to do at Survivor Series. And now they get what I think is a pretty champion, pretty championship. I don't know if the champion's going to be pretty. I think everybody's pretty in their own way, you know. But I guess we'll see. Paul says, love to you and your family in this awful year, SRS. Well, thank you very much. It has been a very tough one. But it says, wondering, as someone for whom Bleacher Report worked well for AEW pay-per-views, why not keep BR as an option? because they want to encourage Max subscriptions, and because Warner Media owns all that, they would rather direct you to Max in order to do that than even present the option of BR Live or Bleacher Report or whatever that may be. And Ken Dixon says, why did BR stop showing AEW pay-per-views now instead of waiting for the new rights deal to go effect in January? That I don't know, and it is something I'm working on. But WBD did clarify to me, even though Tony said that it's being sunsetted, they're like, no, it's not being. They're just not showing the pay-per-views there anymore. Early predictions on Rumble winners: will talents like Charlotte, Becky, Brock, and Cena become immediate world champ contenders when and if they return? I don't think Brock's coming back anytime soon. I think John Cena wins the Royal Rumble next year. And I think it'll be a cool moment. Like, what motivation do WWE have to not have John Cena break that record? I mean, when he does, Ric Flair is just going to say, I was a 21-time champion, which, you know, might be true. But I legitimately want to see a John Cena World Championship title win at this point. I really want to see it. And I was not a John Cena guy, but I would love to see that and him to put somebody over, even if it's the guy that he wins the title from, who I think it'll be Gunther. But that's my pick there. On the women's side of things, if Becky comes back, she could be one. But as you're looking at who's won one of those, it's, man, Asuka, Becky, Charlotte, Bianca, Rousey, Rhea, Bailey. Like, their top dogs have all, like, sort of won one. Although Liv has been launched into that level. I know a lot of people will say Jade, but I actually think that Jade and Bianca could eliminate each other. And that leads to their WrestleMania match. That one makes an awful lot of sense to me. As things stand a few months out, I don't know that there's a favorite. And I kind of like that. Now, I wish that they were pushing, you know, a lot more talent, but you know, they've got a lot of things to balance there. I think as things stand right now, and we, again, it's October, the beginning of October right now, and this isn't until beginning of February. I could see like some big surprise NXT winner happening, especially if Delta or Stephanie or Julia all get over big. I would do that, and I would push that as, oh my God, I can't believe this happened type of thing. Like, show that it absolutely can go down. On two separate occasions, Dave Meltzer has mentioned that he doesn't see Kevin Owens going anywhere. Are you getting that sense too? I don't expect him to, but it wouldn't surprise me if that makes any sense. He's going to get a big offer from AEW if he gets to the period where he can get that offer. Any other educated predictions on the Crown Jewel card? I would say a women's tag team match. And they will have the two title matches, and then probably maybe something with Goldberg. That's a hunch right now. Any idea how long Taz is going to be out? Do you think him opting for surgery means he and Hook are staying with AEW? I don't think it has any indication about AEW from a Hook standpoint, but for Taz, like, I don't know if they're paying for it. I'm not sure how that's working. I don't know if he's an employee or a talent. That's a very good question. But Taz is going to be, he'll be sidelined for quite a little bit. Do you know how much longer the WWE contract with Saudi Arabia for PLEs is, or is it permanent at this point? The contract runs through 2027, and I believe it is scheduled for at least two events a year, I think. Will the Crown Jewel title look like the men's but smaller? I don't know if it's going to be smaller or not. That's a good question. That would make sense, but I don't know. RCS says, best wishes, SRS. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you so much. There's a lot of people, Ty, wishing some very positive things. I appreciate that. Very nice. Will the NXT archives be offered anywhere? I would expect them to go up on maybe Netflix down the line, but I don't know if they are imminently. Where does CM Punk go from here? I would assume time off. There you go. Please share everything you can say about AEW's vice president and people of culture from when the position was posted nearly 1 year ago to current day, including why it was not publicly announced at any stage of the process. Well, as I look, it was posted last November, not a year ago. I completely forgot about this. Had no recollection of this whatsoever. And I don't see a vice president listed anywhere. I do see a director of people and culture, and that would be Margaret Stalvey. It says that she got that gig in January of 2024. She was a human resources manager in AEW for a couple years before that, legal coordinator prior to that. But other than that, I have zero recollection, idea, and have never heard a single thing about that role whatsoever. Thomas says, why was there no explanation for Chris and Stokely separating? Feels like lazy writing, not filling a logic hole, and just doing it because Mercedes needs challengers. This is the kind of stuff to me as to why WWE is far ahead of AEW when booking storylines. Not to mention she only turned heel earlier this year, and now she's randomly a babyface again. So I don't disagree with you on the babyface element of things, but, and I'm not trying to call you out, I'm not going to call you out by name, this is something that I see way too much. It was explained. Now, I know that a lot of you don't watch Rampage, but just because it happens on Rampage or Collision or anywhere else doesn't mean that it didn't happen. They could show you elsewhere, but then you're just saying it for the sake of your own convenience. But Chris Statlander did say she's been a part of a group, she's been a part of a team, she's had a manager, she's been around her best friends, but she wanted to take it back to how it was when she started, which was her being by herself. She called herself a born-again Kristen. And again, from what I understand, they're just not working together on TV anymore. I've not heard much about the conversation about the AEW pay-per-view library specifically. Will this be on Max? You're the best, SRS. Well, thank you so much. I asked for clarity because Kathleen Finch had said, oh, the library is coming to WBD. It's coming to Max. The rep that I asked said that Collision, Dynamite, and the Rampage archives are going to be on Max, at least the Rampage archives until Rampage goes away. So that's what they specifically told me. Is there any truth to the AEW-WBD deal having performance targets in it that dictate whether they get the yearly rise, 180 to 185, 185 to 190, and then 190 to 200? I haven't heard the 200 number or anything. I haven't heard the year four option number. I have not heard this, so I can't really speak on this, but it is something that I'll look into. Are you hearing rumors of a city venue for Mania 42 in 2026? Well, I think you have to always consider London and Indianapolis. You have to consider those because London wants WrestleMania, and they flew Nick Khan and Triple H over to have that conversation, and Indianapolis is committed to one. Dead Inside Failure says, will the OG WWE network still exist for some in the world after January 1st, 2025? I believe so. And they say, have to say, in the States with the VPN, it's nice these days to still be able to watch the NXT back catalog. NordVPN.com/Fightful is legitimately fantastic. I'm very happy. Does the AEW contract specify that Collision has to be live? I think there's a certain number that they have to have live. You work in AEW creative and your assignment is to turn Don Callis babyface. How do you do it? I feel like that wouldn't be too tough because if the audience loves to hate somebody enough, they will also love to love them, at least for a defined period of time, maybe not a defined, an undefined period of time as well. I think the trick in that is you have to find someone more dastardly than that guy, And that for Don Callis, we know that he cares about Kyle Fletcher. We know he's got a little soft spot for Ospreay. We know he's got a soft spot for Takeshita and his guys. Now, if one of those people is taken advantage of or something like that, I think it's fairly easy to turn managers, especially ones that get good heat, babyface in that capacity. So what I would do is have somebody even more dastardly than him try to take advantage of Kyle Fletcher. And then you go that direction. Of all the questions you've ever been asked repeatedly, which one has been the most tiresome one? The health status of wrestlers with ACL injuries, by far. 3-4 months in, people are like, what's going on with them? And David, you say in the comments as I answered that, exactly what I was going to say. He goes, I guess Cora Jade's sooner than anticipated return won't help with that. Yes, you're right. I'm glad she's back. I did not expect her back this year. A lot of people didn't expect to see her back this year either. But I'm glad that she is. But yeah, usually we're talking like a year. With WBD deal done, have there been any mention on AEW documentaries that could be shown on Max sometime soon? I think that'd be a different licensing deal. I think that they would probably work something like that in with an additional deal, maybe. Are the rumors of Miro getting his release granted true? I've heard nothing about that. Who is the face of WWE in 2030 for the men and women? I think the four horsewomen that we mentioned earlier, Julia, Roxanne, possibly Delta, possibly Stephanie, and then I think you probably still got Rhea Ripley there. On the men's side, that's Braun Breaker, buddy. That is Braun Breaker. Any backstage reaction to Tiffany calling Bayley Pam on SmackDown? Just some giggles and all that stuff. Any update on the Kevin Owens, Cody Rhodes fight that took place after the show? Yeah, it was a way to highlight spontaneity, increase social media engagement, and the like. What indie or Japanese talent do you see being in play to be signed for AEW in 2025? Big Trouble, Ben Bishop, Maggie Lee. I'll stay with one man and one woman. There you go. Big Trouble, Ben Bishop, and Maggie Lee. And if I had to expand, I will say J-Rod and Myron Reed. I think those are all very good as well. Look at us going over an hour like old times. My God. What's behind the recent decision to put executive producer credits at the end of WWE? Kind of takes me out of the moment, but maybe it's because I'm not used to it. I mean, we're creatures of habit, right? And for a lot of us that have watched wrestling, we're used to watching wrestling in one way. But I don't have a problem with it. It's just I asked why. I wasn't told why. But I don't have as much of a problem with it or anything like that. But it is different. I know that some people might be like, oh, they're killing kayfabe, executive producer. Every show has an executive producer. It's okay. I'll find out more on this. Any guesses where Megan Bain may sign? I would say AEW. Guys, thank you all so much. Reminder, if you didn't get your question answered, that's okay. I'm working on it, my friends. I've got a few of these that I see that I actually am going to nail down some answers for. And I just want to say thank you guys again, man. I feel like I said this every 3 or 4 weeks. It's been a tough 6 months here in our household. And I just want to say thank you to everybody who wished us very well and all that. I have Tuesday night off, but I will be here on Monday night. And we got a lot of scoops coming for you at FightfulSelect.com. I appreciate every freaking one of you that plops down that $5. So thank you all so much. We're out.